Welcome back to another episode of Girl Boss Podcast. I'm your host, Debbie Sugar, and today's podcast is on how to develop the highest form of self-love. Welcome back. I hope you're all doing good. I'm sorry it's been a little while since I have done a podcast, but today's episode, I wanted to do one on how to find the highest form of self-love and steps and things that I've done. I would say this has probably been one of the things that I've always intuitively done without really realizing. And as I've gotten older and I've experienced more places I've lived and people and different things, I've lived in so many different countries. And, you know, I've done bodybuilding and I've done things that have opened me up to like different people. And one of the main things that I feel like a lot of my friends and a lot of people have really struggled with is true self-love. And I'm going to simplify this to a part where I can almost bet that you will find self-love after this, because this podcast is pretty much going to leave you with no other choice, and what it means for your life after you do come to that belief system and you understand who you are and what you're about. So you're probably thinking, like, how am I going to do this to a whole random group of people listening? But hear me out. So self-love isn't being egotistical or anything like that. Self-love isn't about being better than anyone else. What it is it's actually more, whether or not you are spiritual, it is actually more of like a spiritual understanding of your own unique blueprint on this world and your own essence, and how that essence cannot be compared or even similar to a single other person on this earth. It's pretty much if you were to use a physical example, like your fingerprint. So no matter what you try and do or say or be, or no matter what your belief systems are, your fingerprint can't be the same as somebody else's. And I'd like to think of you and your essence and the part of yourself that you can't see, but that sees the world around you, as that fingerprint. So a fingerprint is a very important way of understanding how different you are and why it's so important to really honor your authenticity. I can't even say that word, but that's what makes me unique. Anyway, you get what I mean. And so you really want to understand that for one. There's also so many other layers and different things that your own blueprint and your whole being has that other people just simply can't replace. There is different things about you that, you know, if you were to strip away all of the other things about other people, whether it be like their wealth or their beauty or their looks or their money or their status or whatever it is that people value each other on more, is that a lot of the time the people that overvalue these things aren't, there's nothing wrong with them. It's great to have an understanding of like groundedness and wholeness, but also enjoy the finer things in life. That's not what this is about. But if you're simply comparing yourself to people and you can't find love for yourself and you find yourself being anxious and just like frustrated with who you are and what you're like or whatever it is that's happening, and it's devaluing yourself inside, then what you need to understand is that there are certain things about you that you have to love because they can't be changed. And if you can't come to a form of acceptance and you want somebody else's blueprint, you probably haven't even looked at yourself and how amazing what yours is. The thing that most of the time you'll see online is that people usually, it's such a weird world, but not a lot of people know who they actually are, and not a lot of people know like what their essence is and what they actually bring that cannot be replaced and that is invaluable. And not a lot of people know how to harness that and better that and grow that and add layers to that externally. And so the key components that I want you to look at are the things that cannot be changed. And once you find that form of self-acceptance, like, you can start with something as little as your fingerprint. It really has no relevance, but it has all the relevance in the world because it means that you are you and you're different. And so when you then pull that, when you take that and you're like, okay, well, that is a fact, I get it, and true, it's true, then you have a belief there that yes, there is different, definitely something about you that's different, that's unique, but also it's not something that's really like any different to anybody else's fingerprint, if you know what I mean. So it just lines up differently on whatever they measure fingerprints. You know what I mean. So that does give you some evidence that you're different and that there is something there and here for you that's authentic to you that you need to really establish and really harness, because in the world it's very easy to get caught up. It's very easy to try and fit in. It's very easy to like be afraid to stand out, but it's actually inevitable that you're going to stand out, because in certain aspects of life, you cannot blend in. You cannot have the same blueprint. You cannot have the same fingerprint. No matter how hard you try, it can't happen. And when you start to understand the power of that and you're like, oh, okay, like amazing. So everyone I meet is completely different to me, but they're actually the same, because everyone has a fingerprint and everyone has a blueprint. And even though they like all look the same, if you were just to look at it with your naked eye, or if you were to just experience someone saying hello, for example, it may come across very similar to other people that have said hello to you. But then there's certain layers to each person that's very, very different. And then what you have to understand is that we are I reckon what the most important thing is and what the most exciting thing is that we are just divided by paradigms. And if you don't know what this is, it basically means that the external world that you experience currently, whether you love it or you don't like it, or you like some parts or you don't like some parts, whatever it might be. One, it can't be perfect. So if it's like a little bit of both, then you're all good. But if you really don't like your paradigm, then you have to look at like what your inner world is like. And if you don't like yourself, the likelihood is you won't like the paradigm. And sometimes people are so focused on the outside that they can't even give themselves the attention to understand who they are on the inside to ensure a better outside. So it's always very important to take your focus back in and start pouring into who you are, what's different about you, coming to some forms of self-acceptance with the very little things, and then building. You don't have to get it all overnight after this podcast kind of thing, but at least I can get you to accept that some things about you are uniquely different, but at the end of the day, they're still the same as everybody else's. So you're not like an alien. It's not like you want to have somebody else's fingerprint type thing. And it should be the same for also who you are as a person. The only reason why a lot of people struggle with self-love is usually because of external factors that have taken the focus off their individuality and who they are. And like when people struggle massively with acceptance or things that have happened or occurred in their lives, and they struggle to like, and they attach themselves to certain forms of identities, whether it be positive or negative, you can really get lost in those types of situations. Sometimes it can be in a good way temporarily, and sometimes it can be in a bad way temporarily. But at the end of the day, what you have to really honor is that self-love does come down to you knowing who you are, giving yourself time, space, and nurturing yourself. And then understanding that that will then reflect in things on your in your outside life. There has been so many times where a lot of you know great things have happened to me, and the only correlation, I'm so sorry about the outdoors, the only correlation to great things happening has always been when I've actually poured into myself and remembered that I'm unique, I'm different, I don't have to be the same as everybody else, and I've never tried to be, and I never will try to be. I will never try to be like other people, because I feel like it takes away from other people. It's like that is that person, and I want to be like really enjoying how they show up and how they are and the individual they are. And I really enjoy the individual that I am for the differences that I have. And the great thing about being different is that it does form better alignment. So when you actually really hone into who you are, you have way more authentic and longer lasting and more higher quality relationships and friendships. And just you can be more selective, because if you're self-aligned, then you can be aligned with your outside world as well. There's going to be times when you hit settings and you're like, I do not belong here. And it's just an energetic mismatch, right? So there's going to be things that trigger and provoke certain feelings like fear and anxieties and just all sorts of things that our mind can kind of play on tricks on us with. But if the goal is really to honor yourself and honor the experience within life, then you really have to honor how you show up for yourself and how you look at yourself, and having that self-acceptance and that self-belief that those differences that you carry are actually your strength. They're your strength. And every single person that's ever met me has always realized that I'm very different. And sometimes people can say that's very negative, or I will have little things about me that just will never change. Like, I always wear my headphones, and I've had the same ones. Like, I bought the same ones because the OG ones broke, but I've always purchased those same ones. And there's so many negative things and words and labels that people could just like put on you, saying like something's wrong with you or whatever, just because you've actually managed to own your individuality. And there's just certain people out there, and you're one of them, that have little things about them. And sometimes you give those individual traits or quirks or just things, differences about you up so that you can blend in, when that literally is the only way that you're going to prevent yourself from actually getting the best out of life. You have to own the qualities about yourself that are incredibly different, and the things about you that make you feel safe and make you feel happy and that are just kind of like part of who you are. And you've also got to realize that, like, we don't have a lot of time on this earth. Like, we really don't. You know, it's like it's like uncertain for everyone, you know, as well. So even though you're here today, you might not be tomorrow. And that sounds extremely, like, I would say a lot of people would think that that's such an extreme point of view, but it's actually not at the same time, because, you know, I've had life-changing experiences occur overnight, and I'm sure at least one thing has happened that's really changed your life. Hold on a second. Trying to figure out why it's so noisy. But I'm sure every single person here has experienced a life-altering event that, like, one day everything was just normal and suddenly you've been tossed and thrown around and life is turned upside down. And you know what? You always come back better for it if you really put that focus on coming back better for it. Now, one of the other things, I listened to a really good podcast from Diary of CEO, and it was there was like a guru on there. I can't remember his name, but he was like explaining how, you know, like, I get a bit weird saying this because I'm not a clinical psychologist, but I'm just going to give my personal, individual, unique point of view. But things like trauma and healing and stuff, I really don't gel with those kinds of words or those kinds of phrases. I feel like when you tell people, when you want to be in a victim mindset, and I'm not saying like life doesn't get hard and bad things don't happen, and I'm definitely saying it's totally normal and really healthy to mourn certain stages in life. And maybe, yes, in those periods, you probably won't feel like your best self. You probably won't have the energy to pour into yourself and love yourself and have those two things happening at once. But that's not where I'm going at with this. It's like, when you get too caught up in having these things and you've actually gotten so much help and so much therapy and so much focus from partners and friends and family about this trauma and this childhood stuff and this healing, and it's like goes into the spiritual realms, and you have people that are getting, hold on a second, so noisy, but you have people that are getting like so much focus on the problems, the perceived problems. And you know, if you listen to like anything from, it's so noisy outside, I can't believe this. Okay, let's hope this isn't too echoey. But if you listen to anything like from Bob Proctor and things, you'll understand that the more you focus on negative things, the more of those things, the more that's going to take over, like how you think, how your life goes, your entire paradigm. It's like a thing. So your mind, is it just annoying me for on purpose now? But your mind is so extremely powerful. And when you kind of like understand that you have to redirect thoughts and you have to like focus on like what you're grateful for, because there is literally always things that you can be grateful for. And you start to, like, every time you try and catch yourself complaining, like, oh, I don't like going to work, like, change it to, I am so grateful I have this job for now. It's not going to last forever. It's probably not going to be your job forever. But whilst you do have it, there are people out there that actually don't have that level of security. It's a new layer of anxiety. It's a new layer of fear. You know, there's all these random things that, you know, you could be complaining about and you could be really bad about, but you've always got to look at like the cup half full, because when you lose your self and your sense of identity and the value you place on yourself because of other things in the external world, you just got to realize like all of those things are just moving particles, basically. Everything is just a perception, an illusion. And so how you feel about like yourself, the only thing that will stay from beginning to end, is very important, because you're going to spread that out into other people. You're going to attract better things into your life because you're valuing this so much and because you understand the value of it. And when you come into contact with people, for example, that want to devalue you based on your looks or your status or something like that, you already know that they haven't actually been able to find themselves and value themselves for what they are. Because yes, other people can do more and be more and give more and have this, that, and the other, but also you have to know that that person's quite like whole, because if they're not whole within themselves, then they're going to eventually find the gaps with that they want to find in things around them, which could be you. And if you hear something enough, you know, you could end up changing your perception of yourself based on somebody else's perception of themselves that they've projected outward, which is really important to be able to identify. Because you hear it all the time, like especially online, there's wild debates about like, you know, what females should be doing and males should be doing and blah, blah, blah. And it's like definitely valid and definitely valuable, because I think we all kind of want to have our comfort zone. And I think males definitely feel more comfortable when they are in the male role. And I think there's a reason why we have opposite sexes and things. And I do feel also like, in females' defense, if males had a period every 28 days, like let's just say they have man flu every 28 days, and then we were like bugging them about what they bring to the table and doing fit, like, you know, they would actually be like, they would react pretty negatively. I do know that. That's one thing I do know. So I think it's really important to harness like being a female and owning that like rest and reassurance and nurturing yourself. And also expecting that in partners as well. If you are going to enter into any kind of relationship. One of the mistakes I made when I was very young, like in my teens, was being, oh, he wasn't that bad, but I was 50-50. But I do, when I was like 19 and that, and I just found it like a massive, even at that age, I found it like a massive issue, because it was taking me somewhat out of my feminine energy. But because I was so young, I didn't realize. And I think when you are like both kind of like young, you definitely don't realize like what you're supposed to be looking for in, you know, partners. And then I'll go into friendships as well and into your just inner circle or outer circles, and how that can affect like your concept of self and how your actual life goes. But by first, obviously, understanding like the differences between me then and me now, I'm like, okay, I used to party a lot. I used to like not really like look after myself that much. I was young, life was definitely not something I really thought about. I was just having fun. And then, you know, when I got into my second relationship, which was a long relationship, I was very much more self-focused, and I had a better relationship in that phase, because I had different expectations for myself. My focus was on my shows. It was on building up different passions and creating things. And I definitely did that to the best, like the most that I could. And I think I really utilized that time very, very well. And it kind of made me where I am today. And now when I left that relationship, I really had like developed like a really good understanding of like what I wanted moving forward and where I was going. And my self-love actually grew to a level that it's never grown before. And I think I'm like at that stage where I have that information and that life experience to know what's really important. Wow, it's very noisy where I'm at, so sorry. But yeah, so when it comes to your relationships, that's one of the biggest things. You have to understand what you want, first of all. Everyone's going to want different relationships, but if a guy is ever putting additional stress on you and taking away from your self-love and doing things that just negatively affect you, my personal opinion in this stage, I'm not a relationship person, but I'm not a relationship guru or whatever you want to call it, is that for me, I'd never prevent my partner or anyone from doing anything. Honestly, go about your own life the way you want to go about it. I don't care. But there are certain criteria that have to be met to be with me or to even access my energy. To remain in my life, they already know what my requirements are at a minimum. And so I would rather be single than settle, basically. So if you feel like you're settling in your relationships, then it's time to go. If you've had the conversation, there's things like that that are just taking from you, then you definitely need to go. Every single thing in your life must be adding, and you must be adding back to it, but you must be adding. So that is one of that's probably just the core premise of like what I value relationships on. If that's not happening, then that's just not going to be in my life. If there's anything that kind of subtracts happiness, even for a day, or even for an hour, I will leave that situation. So I'm pretty specific with that because I just don't really think that there's any real point. And I think God really wants us to be creating and be happy and be bubbling, enjoying life, loving it, doing the most we can. And so when things start pouring out of you and you're giving extra emotional energy or attention and things are just not serving you, it's really important to just go, okay, like, and just cut it off, close the door, and don't leave any, like, just lock it and throw away the key. And that's just the way I am. It's ruthless, but literally any single person that has ever, like, tried to, like, play any games with me or anything, they've always gotten the message pretty quickly after that there would be no coming back. It's just like an energy. They just knew that there would be no way back in. And it's really funny because a lot of girls just don't have boundaries, whereas for me, I really don't care, because I know that I'm living in a certain way that's aligned with God, and he's always going to push away things that aren't good for you when you're living in that space. So whether you believe in God or spiritual or higher power, basically your inner core essence of self, the highest version of yourself, is you can use that. You cannot be in loss ever. The only time you can be in loss is when you allow things to happen that aren't serving you. So you've got to understand that for one. The same goes with friendships. Look, you can throw out a bunch of random facts about friends and how they're different and whatever. Again, if it's not a two-way street where they're not serving you, you're not serving them, they're not supporting you, they're kind of there when things are good and they're not when things are bad, they're just gossipy and bitching and they're just really not good for you. When it's their moment, you're happy for them. When it's your moment, they're not happy for you, they're silent. Things like this, all of those, you know what, you just need to cut them off and just never look back. When they try and contact you, just explain it if you want. You don't have to, but just let them know it wasn't serving. It wasn't an aligned friendship. And I've done this so many times, and I don't care. I don't think anyone deserves any part of anyone's life that they can't actually do the bare minimum contribution-wise to maintain a non-neglectful partnership, friendship, relationship, whatever it might be. If that's the way they want to have it, then let them have it with someone that's going to do that back to them and is happy with that. Like, just don't be that person. Hand them to somebody else. Sprinkle. Kidding. But yeah, so you really want to do that, and you really want to make sure that that is a non-negotiable. Another thing that's really important is having non-negotiables with yourself. I'm very structured in terms of my routine and what I eat. I'm 80-20. I'm not always perfect. I'll have off seasons. But for the most part, the more I go through life, the more stricter I become with who's in my life, what's in my life, how I do things, why I do things, what I say, what I do, who I share info with, who I don't, who I associate with, who I don't, what I think of people caring about, what I do, etc. Things I eat, what I do for my hobbies, how I spend my time, all of that. Is it actually adding any value to other people's lives or myself? If that's a no, then it's got to go, you know? I do love downtime, and I think I used to be a bit too strict, too far on one side, where I couldn't even enjoy a holiday without like feeling like I had to be on point. But now I understand that that's actually a negative, and you don't have to be that much on point in like certain areas that are to develop like your body or your certain aspects of you as a person. Sometimes you do have to have that leisure time to balance things out, because life is very much a balancing act. It's very hard to get it right. And when you do, you know, and you're in full harmony, you feel very good. You feel very clear. You feel very happy getting up in the morning. You feel very safe. You really feel like you've got it right, you know, and it's very hard to get there. So by having consistent trial and error structured routines, morning routines, night routines, skincare routines, things like that, guys, you won't even have time to like deal with most things that you probably spend a lot of wasted time on if you actually try and get yourself in order and pour into yourself. Because If it was for me, like the amount of things like I have to get through in a day just to like get my energy and harmony and to sleep well at night and to be happy and content and lists are checked and just I've had my pamper days and I've got everything on point, it really takes all of my focus. So that's what you want to be doing. You don't want to be focusing on things that you cannot control. You don't want to be focusing on things that are bad for you. You don't want any time delivered anywhere aside from things that add value to other people that you care about's lives or to your own. Otherwise, it's a waste of your time and you don't have a lot of time. Like, these are your best years, regardless of what you think. This is the youngest you'll ever be. These are the years that are your time to have fun and to do the most that you can with life and just to try and bring the best version of yourself also. Like, the whole point of like you being that strict on yourself is also so that other people are getting the best version of you delivered. They're getting a harmonious, calm. Look, you can't always be perfect, but at least they know you're trying. So at least they know you're trying, and at least they know you're going to get better. And so you don't have to be perfect today, but imagine how great you could be in a year. Imagine how great you could be in 6 months. Imagine a month from now, even. Like, you will see changes. And it's really important as well to start filling your mind with positive affirmations just about your worth and about yourself and your about how lucky you are and how you know you're going to change your paradigm and start thinking about things that you want to experience in life and know that they can be yours. You don't have to be jealous of anyone else because it's just not your time today, but it can be when it's right. And by bringing it closer to you, it basically comes down to doing everything you can to put forward the best version of yourself so you can enjoy these things more. You can't enjoy things when you're not in the best position yourself, so you're not ready anyway, even if you tried, probably. So just remember that. Get to work. It's time. It's like good work. It's not like hard work. It's good work. It's like time and energy that you've probably invested, wasted on some random guy or some random group of friends gossiping or dramas. Just start taking it all back, pouring into yourself, and like make your list. Think about what that list is going to bring you in a month, in a 6 months, in a year, and compound that over years and years. And imagine where you're going to be. Whereas if you pour that energy into things that are going to lead to nothing, imagine where you're going to end up. You're going to be worse off. So think about that. Think about why your self-love is important. Think about how you spend your time. Think about what you are doing and ask yourself, where is that leading to? Because if you don't do that and you don't actually think about it, you're never going to change your paradigms. So yeah, that's all it is. It's actually like really great because now you can understand who you are. You don't need to compare yourself to no one. You don't need to waste your time. You can pull your energy back. You understand why it's not selfish because you don't want to be bringing the worst version of yourself to friends, partners, places. You don't want to be doing that. Jobs, whatever you want to do. You want to be bringing the best version. So in order to bring the best version, you have to start acting out how to, you have to start having your structured routines. You have to start thinking consciously about what you're doing. No wasted time. I will talk to you all next week.